We're in the book of Ephesians. Since I'd set the tone for preaching, we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 of Ephesians, beginning at verse 7. Verse 7 in chapter 4 of Ephesians. The word of God says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Today we want to talk about, we have gifts. We have gifts. There is great joy when we receive gifts from people, regardless of how small or how large the gift is, the result is generally the same: joy. People give us gifts when we receive them, regardless if it's a birthday gift, Christmas gift, anniversary gift, or just an "I'm thinking of you" gift. Truth is, we enjoy receiving them. Allow me to say this as we look at this text, that God has given us each who are saved a gift that we ought have joy for receiving. But not only must and should we have joy in receiving the gift that God has given us, we must recognize that these gifts, or that gift, because some of us have one, some of us have more than one.
That's right.
We must recognize that these gifts also bring us joy when we utilize them for the glory of God.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you very bluntly, are you using your gift? Perhaps I should just ask it specifically and germane to our environment. Are you using your gift in the service of the Lord?
Oh, Yeah.
Does God get glory from the gift that he's given you? God has granted each of us gifts for the benefit of his kingdom. And truth is, we serve God with our gifts. So we should never take the gift that God has given us for granted. Why, you ask? I hear you. Y'all ask good questions. Well, the reason why is we find in verse 7, but to everyone of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The answer is, it is because of Christ we have gifts.
That's
why we ought not take them for granted. That's why we ought not slip on using them. That's why we ought be productive and effective in the service of Christ with our gifts. Because Christ, it is because of Christ that we have. Verse 7 starts with a conjunction, but, which really calls us to look back at the previous verses in which the Apostle Paul writes. Paul writes this church in Ephesus and demonstrates and said to them the necessity of understanding the oneness of God. But not only the oneness of God, but the oneness of God, the Godhead, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, he wants us to see this so that we can understand, as he's speaking to this church in Ephesus, of the importance of unity of his church. So verses 4, 5, and 6, matter of fact, those first few verses, we find that seven times does Paul use the word one. One God, he saw one faith, he says one baptism, and he goes on with one. Seven times he uses the word one in order to express the oneness of Christian service and the oneness and the unity of the church. He wants the church. He says, I want you to understand that God works in unity with the Godhead.
Yes, sir.
That's it. In Genesis, he says, Let us. I didn't mean to holler there, but you know, when I start thinking about what God has done, you know.
That's what he said.
He said, let us. He spoke everything into existence and says, let us. And then when he got to man, he said, let us make man in he's in unity, the Godhead.
And yes, sir.
So Paul reflects back and then he says, if God can speak of unity and God can present unity in his Godhead, if he can present unity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, what more? Of a responsibility for the church to stand in oneness.
Yes.
So he speaks one. He says one. And then he says, but to every one. Is given grace. He says, even in our oneness. And he says, I don't want you to confuse unity with uniformity. Because that's a big difference. Uniformity means we all look alike. Dress alike, stand alike. But unity means that in our diversity, watch this, we work as one. Even with our individuality. And that's why he says, but to every one, every individual, even in the diversity of the church. This is where he displays the diversity of the church, meaning that everybody's not the same, but we're under the same authority. Is this making sense? He says, given each one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift. It is because of Christ we each, those of us, watch this, who are saved, have gifts. You see it? He said each one of us is pointing back to those who have embraced the salvation of Christ. He says, is given. He says, when we're saved, we are given gifts. And he says, gifts, he was given grace. And that word grace is used interchangeably with gifts, but even more so, it also is a word that means favor and help.
Yes, sir.
It means care. He says, those of us who are saved, he says, he gives us some concern and some care and some favor. We receive this based upon our salvation. And then watch what he says. He helps us to understand, watch this, that his grace affords us the gifts. It is his grace. It is his grace. Not because of ourselves. Not because we deserve them. That's why he uses grace. He said, it isn't because you have earned it.
That's right, brother. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Not because you are who you are.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
But it is because of his grace, his favor. We're given grace.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We're given gifts. Have gifts because of his grace. And without him, he says, without him, and that's why he says it this way, Paul says, he says, but unto every one of us is given grace. He says it this way so that we understand that without him, we would be ineffective. Our gifts are all the more effective because of the grace of God. Because of his working power, because of his favor, because of his care. Watch this, because of his help. We are effective. Look, Big Mama wasn't as theologically sound as most of us. But she knew how to say what she needed to say regarding the grace of God.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
She would say stuff like, I can do it with the Lord's help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or she say, if the Lord willing.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Because she understood that without his grace, I could do nothing. So, without him, we would be ineffective. It's a grace, he said. You understand grace, don't you? Grace, with grace, we are given strength in our times of weakness. Inspiration in our times of difficulty. Assurance in our times of despair. Courage in our times of fear. With grace, we are given joy in our times of sorrow. Comfort in our times of loneliness. She knew something of grace, which says, it affords us the opportunity to express the gifts God has given us.
Yes.
Not because of ourselves, not because we are so good, not because we got it all together.
Yes,
that's why I don't understand how many of us can be so grand. Ain't nothing going to operate without us. Be grand, you know. We got to be top dog, be number one.
Right.
Got to be about us. Gifts are not to be about us. And I'm giving you a prelude to what I'm going to say later, but they are to be about the glory of God.
Yes,
now, let me just tell you, there's a difference between, and I'm getting into next week's sermon,
right.
But let me just say that there's a difference between gifts and talents.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was talented.
Boy,
I tell you, boy, I guess it's two people you don't talk about in the Chicago area. In the Chicago church, you don't talk about God? You don't say nothing against God, and you don't say nothing against Michael Jordan. But yeah, since I'm here, he was talented, but he wasn't really gifted. See, gifts don't diminish. Talents do. You ask Michael Jordan to come on back to the Bulls now. Let's see. Let's see him do what he's been doing. Let's see. Come on, let's talk. Talents diminish, but gifts, amen. God don't take gifts back.
Amen.
But look. I got to move. Look. We understand that it is because of Christ we have gifts. His grace affords us the gifts, but they are his gifts to give. You see it right there? Look, clause B, it says, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. According to the measure. That word measure means quantity. According to how much he has. Look, and look, according to the measure, according to the quantity, according to all the end, what he's saying to each of us is that God has enough to go around. You don't run out of gifts. And can I tell you something else about that? It's according to what Christ done. Watch this. Whatever gift he gives you, you ought to appreciate that gift. No need looking at nobody else giving to, well, I ain't get that one. No, you. It's according to him. They are his gifts to give. They are not to be misused. And they are to be appreciated. Appreciate the gift God has given you. Whatever your gift is, whether it's administration, help, serving, you know, praying, teaching, whatever your gift is, appreciate it.
Right.
How do we show this appreciation? We can better appreciate our gifts when we remind ourselves daily it is because of Christ we have gift. Because guess what? You could have been lost. But he saved you and gave you something for the kingdom. Oh, be something to be thankful for. Be appreciative for. And we show our appreciation by using our gifts for God. Now that calls for us to understand the significance of our gifts. It is, these gifts are not accidental. Verses 8-10 say this, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Here it explains and expresses the fact God has already had you in the plan.
All right. Yes, sir.
They are in the plan of God. Your gift, my gift, is in the plan of God. It's not something accidental. Paul begins in verses 8. In verse 8, he begins to quote Psalm 68 and 18, whereby this psalm is a psalm of ascent that David writes as David is beginning to adore and worship God for his victories. And so as he's doing so, David begins to reminisce of not only what God had done for him, but also what he'd done for the children of Israel. So you brought us across the Red Sea. And he just started just going down the line and start speaking of how God had delivered them, and then began to reminisce of how God, watch this, he began to reminisce how God has made a way in his life. And verse 18 becomes prophetic, because it's as though David looks and peers and begins to point to Calvary and point to the works of Christ and says that he has ascended on high and led captivity captive. Many theologians write and say that this was David's way of viewing how great God is when he's giving and bestowing blessings upon his children, and as a warrior, a great warrior who would go and have a battle and have victory in the battle. And when he came back, he would bring those in whom were to be captives and march them around the city. And while marching them around the city, he would show off that his enemy has been defeated. And then began bestowing gifts upon all of the inhabitants of his hometown. It's as if Paul begins, as he starts to talking about how, matter of fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones says it this way. He says, as Paul begins to talk about Jesus Christ, when he says that these are gifts of Christ, the next statement, you almost anticipate that he's going to go right into what verse 11 says in the psalm he gave apostles. And begin to go on about the gifts. But he interrupts himself and begins to think about how good Jesus really is. He starts thinking about how Jesus came down, made himself a man, walked the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea, healed blind and dumb and raised the dead and died on the cross. He's pointing to the cross. So he died on the cross, but then he rose from the grave. He's pointing. He points to the work of Christ, and he says in his intonation, he's saying, this is the work of Christ for the church. Christ has given his life. Christ has done so much. The church, he says, because Christ has done this, he's now, you know, he has taken and he's defeated our enemy. Watch this. He said, he's defeated our enemy. Can I tell you something? Satan is defeated. Death, burial, and resurrection has. And he says he's began to march so that others will see that Satan has no hold on them, and began bestowing gifts for those who have been rescued. I don't know about you, but that just makes me happy. Paul says he has done a mighty work. Not only has he done a mighty work, but watch this.
He helps us to understand that he established the fulfillment of the prophecy. All
right. Right. Yes,
all that Christ had done,
yeah,
he did it for the church.
Yeah.
So what am I saying? I'm saying that in so speaking, Paul says that our gifts are significant and purposed for the church. We must always remind ourselves of what Christ did for the church. If Christ could give his life for the church, if Christ could disrobe himself from royalty and take on humanity for the church, certainly we can step off our high horses and egos and serve God for the church. And look, I'm in Bible territory. Look, our gifts are purposed for the church. God has given each of us an ability to contribute to the church. He speaks verses 9 through 10, and he makes it clear what Christ has done and the work of Christ. And he says these gifts are given because of this, and in our appreciation for it, we ought return those gifts. Watch this. To bring him glory. Does God get glory through your gift? I want you to think about that. Does God get glory through your gift? With everything he's done, I mean, let me just step back. Do you ever think about what he's done for you? And with what he's done for you, have you ever stopped to say, well, you know, he has done quite a bit. I ought to sacrifice a little something for him. When we receive gift from people, we often cherish them, and we cherish them so much that we dare not destroy them. We place them in special places, and we would never give them away.
That's right, Reverend.
Because they are a gift.
Yes, sir.
Well, so should our attitude be as it pertains to the gift that God has given us.
Uh-huh.
Our God-given gifts, we must cherish them. We got to use them and be effective with them. Never give them away.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Reverend, what do you mean give them away? And give them away to the world.
That's right.
There are many of us who will do more for the world for fame, you know, for cash, cars, and commodities.
Yeah.
Such. Truth be told, oftentimes the world will use you up. And when they're done using you, they'll send you on your way. We keep on pushing and keep on trying and marking time for the world with our gifts. God's church goes struggling. What does that mean? It means we ought not give our gifts away. God has given them for the purpose of his church.
The church.
we had to don't give your gift to the world. Don't forsake the church with your gift. Don't forsake God with your gift. Now look, y'all, I didn't plan this sermon. It just came. You know, this is where we fell. This is where we dropped off at. So the question is, here's the question. Does God get glory? I know if I've asked it, but I'm going to ask it again. Through your gift. Does God get glory from your gift? Or do you have, look. Or do you struggle with using your gift for God and the world? The moment's come in our lives where we figure out and understand how much God becomes displeased when we forsake him with our gifts. Amen. I'm not talking about money.
That's right.
I'm talking about gifts God has given you.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Giving you gift of administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Giving you the gift of prayer.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Giving you the gift of teaching.
That's right.
Watch this. Has given you what? Given you the gift of healing. No, I'm not talking about, you know, where you touching folk and they, you know, falling out. Healing deals with forgiveness and being able to help those who are in, you know, like nurses and doctors and.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you use your gift for God? I wonder if I took a poll here and asked how many people work in the hospital. How many would raise their hand? If I took a poll and asked for the person who, or people who know how to do plumbing and painting and drywall, how many hands would go up? How many person have the ability to write? How many people have the ability to organize? How many people have the ability to structure? See, God's church should never struggle when we got all of the people inside with the gifts to do it. So that's all I'm trying to say. God has given you gifts for his kingdom. Don't give your gifts away. But Reverend, I get paid for that. Well, you know what? Can I just help you to understand something? God has given you a gift. Somebody, some songwriter says, only what you do will last. But then he comes back around and says, serving the Lord will pay off. Look, you may not get, look, I know, I hear you. God knows I hear you. Say, Reverend, I can't get along with all them folk up there. But look, baby, that's not what God charged you to do. God charged you to use your gift for his kingdom. Amen. Your gift is not to be used as a favor to the pastor.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You know, I would do it, but I just don't like the guy.
Yeah. That's what
he get on my nerve. Always getting up there with that Jesus stuff. I would.
I would, but he moved me from my position. I would, but he changed some stuff. I would, but you know, since he been here. I just say this is preaching, I'm preaching. So what? Are you serving me or serving the Lord? That's all I got to ask. When you can forsake your gift because of another individual, you need to check yourself. I'm going to tell you now, ain't now one of y'all going to make me go to hell. I'm going to serve the Lord. I got a Joshua spirit. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah, but look, let me just let it be perfectly clear. Don't care who don't like me, who don't want to be around me, I'm going to keep on serving the Lord. And that's the attitude we ought have, regardless of what others may say, what others may do, how others may treat us. Use your gift for the Lord. Regardless of how things change, I'm in Bible. Use your gift for the Lord. It'd just be a shame to get to heaven and the Lord said, I gave you a gift and you didn't use it. Well, Lord, you know, I was on the job. I gave you a gift, but you didn't use it. Well, Reverend, that pastor you gave us. Or that usher that you gave us. Or those deacons, they just weren't. Them four, there was that one woman that sat on the back bench or the second bench that I just couldn't get along with. Look, you can make all the excuses you want, but it won't mean a hill of beans. You better use your gift. Yes, sir. I said it once, but I think I better say it again. If one person can stop you from serving God, that's your God. That's your God. Whoever can stop you from doing what God has given you to do, that's who you serve. That's who you serve. Now, what y'all do is go to your God and tell him to wake you up tomorrow. Or what you better not do is you better not make your God mad at you. We serve a merciful God. One who is loving and loved us so much that he sent his son to die. Look, that's a gift. He says the gift of God is eternal life. Says the wages of sin is death. Thank God for the gift. I ask you again, what gift do you have? What service have you rendered to the Lord? And then ask yourself, how glad or how happy or how thankful or how grateful you've been towards God when using your gift. I tried to help us to understand today that it is because of Christ we have gifts. Help us to understand the significance of our gifts. And that is that they are purposed for the church. They don't belong to you. They are his, and he gave them to us. They don't belong to you. They belong to God. He gave them. He entrusted them in you in order for you to do what God requires of you. In order for his kingdom to keep moving. Now, here's the question. look at your church.
Yes, sir.
Look at how far the church has come. Now, think about how far the church can go. Now, put yourself in the equation. How much of your gift have you used to get the church here? Now, ask yourself, how much of my gift will I use to get my church further? I'm through now. We all have gifts. And God is calling us to use our gifts. God is calling us to be intentional about our gifts. Let us pray. Lord, we say thank you. We bless you. We magnify you. We come today, Lord, thanking you for what you've shown us. We ask, Father, that our hearts will be open to do your will and do your will effectively. Oh, God, we want to be all that you want us to be. We thank you for the moment of conviction this morning, the moment of truth, the moment of reality. Now, Lord, let us, as we begin to go about our day, begin to hear your voice and hear your call. Hear your move to do your will and use it through our gifts. We thank you. We honor you. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us extend the privileges of the church. You may come by letter. Christian experience. Or as a candidate for baptism. If you're here, why don't you come? While the blood is running warm in your veins. If you're here, why don't you come?